welcome to This Song, the podcast that asks artists to talk about songs that changed their lives. Because, yeah, songs, they can totally change your life. It's true. In this episode, I got to chat with two artists, musician Laura Marling and Austin-based photographer Todd Wolfson. And I paired these interviews together because they both brought up songs that instructed them about the nature of artistic freedom and openness. But before I go on, I want to let you know that This Song is a podcast. It's on the KUTX website, it's on iTunes and Stitcher, as are all the other podcasts we have here at KUTX, Song of the Day, the Austin Music Minute, and Liner Notes. And if you listen to this podcast or our other podcasts and you enjoy them, we would love a rating or a review. It helps us out a lot. Now that I've got that out of the way, back to the episode. So we're going to start out with Laura Marling. She's an artist from the UK, and if you haven't heard her music, you should really run and listen to some. To me, she's a continuation of that Richard and Linda Thompson school of British folk music. It's very rooted, yet very contemporary, but she's by no means a genre specialist. Her latest record, Short Movie, was written almost entirely on electric guitar, and she really explores new territory and pushes her sound forward on this record. She was in town for the Austin City Limits Hall of Fame induction show. She was playing a Townes Van Zandt song, which, by the way, was beautiful. And if you can see that show, you will see her performance and you will know what I'm talking about. Anyway, she was here in Austin and she also booked a solo gig and then came into Studio 1A at KUTX and did a solo performance, which again was truly lovely. And afterwards, she sat down with me and told me about three songs that expanded her understanding of what songs and songwriting could be about. So here she is, Laura Marling.
I've got three that spring to mind. Is that not the, that's not the idea?
Three is great too. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, it can only be one song. I mean, I'm happy.
Had the same like effect on me.
Oh, really?
Same, like the kind of when you hear a piece of music that opens up the crack in the system, you know, the crack in the psyche or whatever a bit mm-hmm. more, because it, for some reason, just is very human.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you relate to it. And there's three songs that have done that to me, and probably fairly recently, we're talking like last 5 years sort of. But and they're really, really different from one another, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So there's Wichita Lineman by Glen Campbell.
Oh, wow.
Which
okay.
is an extraordinary piece of melodic songwriting.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's crazy. I couldn't believe it that someone had written a song like that.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload.
And then there was Peaches and Regalia, Frank Zappa, mm-hmm. Which is an instrumental piece of music that's so, you know, he might be an alien. I'm almost certain,
right.
actually.
He's definitely got a different perspective than
yeah,
most
something,
of the
yeah,
rest of us.
Yeah, yeah, he's got an extra eye or something, yeah. an extra ear. And then there was a Bill Callahan album that came out a couple of years ago called Sometimes I Wish We Were an Eagle. Mm-hmm. And it did have a fairly dramatic effect on how I saw the purpose of songwriting and, you know, what you could really get across so efficiently, but without any sort of, without following any formula. Now, he doesn't seem to, like, care too much for structure.
I'd mark like Shaw, Zubovan Del Bar, Teppy Vinciner, Kofali Ragdoll.
So, and you heard these songs like within the last 5 years?
Yeah.
So you had been playing music already, you'd been performing professionally, yeah. And writing your own music.
Yeah.
So what was it when you heard these songs? Did you hear them all around the same time? Was there like this kind of explosion of understanding and openness that happened around these songs?
Or? I guess I've been drip fed. I guess I get you drip fed them, those songs and the extra ones that was like all through life. And I suppose if I went back further, I could tell you the other ones that maybe there's like one or two a year that really blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the one of that gang that's the oldest is the Bill Callahan album, because I think that came out in like 2010. And it was pretty much the only album I listened to for two straight years. I was obsessed with it.
So what was it about the way that it made you feel that made you keep going back to it, kind of?
It was like every time I listened to it, I saw something else. Like I began to build a visual picture of it. It was so visceral to me. It became so much like that. And I listened to it the first time, and there was just this surface level of, you know, his very penetrating voice, and he's a great songwriter, melodically, and tonally.
I started out in search of ordinary things. How much of a tree bends in the wind? I started telling.
And then you listen to it again, and you're like, wow, the arrangements are so weird. And then you listen to it again, and you're like, oh, there's a story. And then you listen to it again, and you're like, this story is insane. It's like he talks about this tree that's like a brain, and the birds are part, the birds are personified in this tree, and what relevance they have to like thoughts escaping from, it's like.
Is there like an, I haven't really listened to the record, so is there an arc throughout the record of like story of the tree?
It seems to be, no, it's not, it's, I don't know if it's like a story start to finish, but it's like a, it's an excerpt of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think around the same time he released a book called Letters to Emma Bolcutt, which was again just like an extraordinary, boundaryless kind of piece of writing that was really fitted that record perfectly. I don't know if they were supposed to go together. So I had this very good image of what was being painted in this record.
And
just for me, obviously.
Well, yeah. That's I guess last night someone said that the power of the great song is when you feel like it was written just for you, like,
yeah.
Even though no one,
yeah.
How could they possibly have written it for me? But it touches me. And when, so did you take that record that you were listening to and then, like, because it sounds like you were kind of deconstructing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's what he's doing structure-wise and arrangement-wise and songwriting-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Did you then try to apply those rules to your own songwriting, or non-rules, as it were, where you
the
like,
non-rules.
I can,
yeah.
I don't have to like stay within all these boundaries. I can
exactly.
Really like.
I do. I constantly have this pull back and forth between like the elegance and grace of the structured songwriter. You know, America has a really great tradition of that. Last night at the ACL Hall of Fame show is a perfect example of like how graceful that is. Mm-hmm. You know, that school of songwriting. And then I have this like other side of me, this sort of still rebellious teenager side of me that wants to be, that wants to just let the randomness out and the kind of, beautiful chaos what's it called when you speak without editing yourself, a stream of consciousness.
Right, right.
Yeah. Because there's real, there's real beauty in that too. And I think people relate to it in a way that they can't put into sort of semantics.
Which is the real kind of like power of song sometimes, when you hear the words, but they're still kind of unknowable to you exactly what it means.
Exactly.
But you feel it, like, mm-hmm. rather than understand it.
Yeah.
Intellectually, yeah.
Yeah. Which classical music and like, later Miles Davis was doing, you've been doing forever.
And the Frank Zappa piece too.
The Frank Zappa piece.
Is that
yeah.
what it did for you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the same kind of thing where you hear a piece like the Frank Zappa piece of music and you, Peaches and Regalia,
yeah,
and you just think like, oh, rules and boundaries are kind of like not where it's at. They're not necessarily where it's at.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And someone sent me I was sort of slightly on a tangent, but somebody sent me like a like a later Pink Floyd track recently that I didn't really, you know, I didn't, I've never been like a crazy Pink Floyd fan, so I never looked in too deep. There was this one song where he sings, the singer sings this really long note really powerfully, and it morphs into a saxophone solo.
You take her frail hand and hold on to the dream.
And it's extraordinary. And that's kind of like breaking the rule. It's like, it's so brilliantly, like, I don't know, ingenious that, it, you know.
Crossing the boundary between voice and instrument. Like, and it is kind of, it's essentially all the same thing. And you only kind of see it when someone does that. Like, exactly. Oh, it's just sound. Like, they're just, oh. Yeah. And, but then, of this, so those are the two, like, non kind of rules oriented songs. And then you have Wichita Lineman. Mm-hmm. Which is a very structured, very like melodic mm-hmm. song. Although it does break some rules, I feel like it's still on the line. Like you never, I still never see it coming.
Yeah,
you
know and I mean? Never. I've tried singing it. I always think I'm going to play it in a set as a cover, and I can't hit that note. Mm-hmm. It doesn't register for some reason.
Oh, really?
That the Wichita Lineman.
The still on the line.
Yeah, I can't do it.
And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Infuriating.
Oh, it's like your brain won't quite. Like,
yeah, it just won't.
Just
have
won't
it.
Compute
no.
the thing. So does that bring you back to that interplay between wanting to break all the rules and then like seeing the beauty in a very
yes.
structured? Melodic form.
Yes. And, you know, just the simplicity of an extraordinary voice like Glen Campbell's, extraordinary musicianship, like the arrangements that were put around it. And then there's all this sort of massiveness around that song, and then the lyrics are kind of like homely or something. You know, they're like, you know, the sentiment's just very sweet and simple.
And so when you're writing your own music, is this the constant struggle that you're having in writing and arranging? Like, stay within the lines, break out of the
yeah.
lines, stay within the arrangement lines, break out. How does that, is yeah. that easier to do or harder when you're by yourself or with a band, I guess?
Well, when I'm with a band, it's really nice because they all have their own tone, you know, they have their own flavor. And so when we play together, it's something new, we create something new together. And I kind of, you know, you play with each other, you play against each other or with each other. And then, so when we're in the studio together, that kind of informs the sound. Mm-hmm. So I try not to mess with, like, in the same way that, like, when you're, like, I could make a really cheesy analogy about cooking.
Go for it.
If you've got, like, really, really beautiful ingredients and, you know, they all serve their individual purpose and they, like, cover their own bracket of taste and flavour and texture, then you don't need to do much then like put them in, just like throw them on a plate a bit, mm-hmm. you know, like throw them in a bowl, just like move them around once and you've got
let
something.
Let them do
like,
their thing.
Let them do their thing. And I like the kind of, you don't want to touch them too much because you get your gross hands all over them, you know.
Right.
You're like human, you put all your humanness on them. And so I like the idea. My philosophy that I stick to is just to not mess with anything, not make anything too complicated.
Yeah. And so it's a little easier to maybe do that when you're sitting alone writing. Is that when you do you have an internal struggle like, come on Laura, like break out of the lines, or like or maybe we can bring it back in, like,
yes sometimes yeah. it's a case of bringing it back in because yeah. you can do that, like songwriting sometimes feels like a, you know, the opening of the left hand side of your brain or something, you know, when you're just going to sleep and you start like, or when you're just waking up and you feel like someone's calling your name in a dream and it's in the real world, you're using
yeah.
a different side of your brain. Sometimes songwriting feels a bit like that, and I think that requires some, you have to put some reins on that, otherwise it could get really weird.
And there it is, it's that tension between
the desire to follow the rules and the desire to break them. I think it's a struggle for any artist. And the song playing below me is Short Movie. And after hearing that interview, I can hear the push-pull between form and formlessness on this song and other songs on Short Movie. And one of the artists that Laura also referenced during that was later Miles Davis. And I didn't spend any time on it in her interview, but I decided to pair her interview with our next interview, which does talk about later Miles Davis, which will give you a sense of what that's all about. And that brings us to our next artist, Todd Wolfson. He's the first non-professional musician that we've had on the show, and certainly he's not going to be the last. He's a prolific photographer, and he shoots a lot of musicians. He's probably shot most of the musicians in Austin at some point, and this is not like an overstatement at all. And for him, he has a song that inspires the way he approaches his art, even though that art is not necessarily music. Here's Todd Wolfson.
The song is Mtume off of Get Up With It by Miles Davis. And this LP was given to me by my brother when I was 15 years old. It changed my life.
Oh, whoa. Okay, so your older brother?
Yes, Steve-O, my older brother.
And was this something that he did a bunch? Did he hip you to a lot of music, or was this...
I had two older brothers who had massive record collections, and awesome birthday gifts between any of us was easy. We'd buy each other albums.
So had you ever heard any Miles Davis before your brother brought you this record?
No. I didn't know much about what jazz was at all, or maybe just was starting to get into electronic music like Kraftwerk.
So is there electronic stuff on Mtume? I haven't heard it before.
Mtume was, when I say music with voice, It's because Miles Davis had started a new angle of his music in the 70s, and it was all improvised. He would set a tempo, mm-hmm. and he would set a chord progression.
Right.
Outside of that, he brought in musicians that were wonderful, that he trusted, and they just went for it.
So this is a totally improvised song, pretty much.
Yes, and when I say the thing, and this is why this song, some of the songs were and some of the songs weren't, but I'd say about half the songs on this album, the organ that he played, the trumpet, and the electric guitar all went through wah-wahs. And the reason he said, when I read an interview with him, that he did that was that so those three lead instruments would have the same voice. This record was and has always been on my mind and entered my psyche and is the reason that I create the way I do today is literally because of this album.
Do you bring some of what you kind of got from Miles Davis about improvisation and
I bring all
voice?
Of that to it. Whether I'm doing a shoot for fun or a shoot for a client like a record label or whoever is hiring me, I'm not the person that comes in with concepts. I'm a person that trusts myself and trusts the people I'm working with, and I trust the process to just start doing it and letting it happen. And that's how I get what I get.
That's what
I'm telling you.
So it's really like, and it's interesting because Mtume, it sounds like to you it was an instruction on how to
set parameters but let go of structure and just kind of create in the moment.
It's like you have to start with some sort of structure. Like I said, there's, you know, a rhythm, there's a chord, at least, you know, a chord progression, a starting chord.
Like a key.
And anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, a key, sorry. See, I'm not a musician. There's a key that the song is in. But then from just that foundation, that's where the art happens.
That's really beautiful. And you're the first non-musician non-professional musician who we've talked
to.
It's
okay.
Hey.
It's okay.
And so, but I really do think that, like, you know, you learn about freedom and experimentation and improvisation within certain boundaries. And, you know, you learn it from a song and then you can take it into photography and it works.
I think of, and maybe this came from that too, he was a painter as well. Miles Davis was a painter.
I did not know that.
He did a lot of paintings. He was a crazy guy. But what I was going to say is I don't think that dance or creating music or painting or drawing or photography, any of it, is really any different. It all comes from the same place. It comes from a place in the soul of creativity, of spirit, you know, so mm-hmm. It all comes from the same place.
And oh, here's my question that I wanted to ask you. Speaking of the soul and inside and how it makes you feel, like when you heard Entombé and kind of came to understand it, mm-hmm. was it something about like the freedom? Like that was, how did it make you feel as far as like what emotions did you or do you feel when you listen to it? Is it like,
the easiest word I can think of is free. Mm-hmm. It made me feel free. It was free of, hey, 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 la, la, la. It was way beyond that.
There is something about improvisational music, and playing improvisational music is really interesting because it can be maybe difficult for the audience, but when you're really in the moment, when everyone is like kind of in that same space and vibrating at the same, you know, frequency and just kind of all creating something together that's really created in that moment, there is something transcendent and magical about that.
Speaking of transcendent, the word transcendent, another way I could express this is there was a section of Sonic Youth's career where they made 3 or 4 albums that had no lyrics. They were a pretty experimental band as a pop punk band, whatever they were. But they made some totally instrumental albums. They came to South by Southwest one year. I forget what year it was. And it was at the old La Zona Rosa, right after they just built the big back part of it. Mm-hmm. They played a show. I was there with one of my photographer cronies. We got there early. We were right at the edge of the stage. There was hundreds and hundreds of people there. When the music started, by the time it was into maybe the second tune that they did, I closed my eyes and was just jamming out in my head to what they were doing, and my eyes were closed. And I didn't realize that I was in this transcendent space. Until I opened my eyes and I saw all the people in the band again, I had been transported for, I don't know if it was 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes. But when I opened my eyes, I was shocked that I was in this crowd because I was somewhere else.
Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to listen to Entombé. I'm gonna close my eyes and try to get
there. You
transported.
Go.
Okay, thanks, Todd. Freedom leads to transcendence in music or photography or whatever, really. And below me is a Todd Wolfson song called No One Like. And yes, Todd does play music as an avocation. In fact, he has a series, The Last Monday of every month at Monkey Nest Coffee here in Austin, where he asks his musician friends to come down and jam with him. And like I said, he's shot everyone in town, and he's really good. And, you know, he calls, and you say yes, because he's Todd. And at these get-togethers, there's a lot of improvisational music, which is always really fun, because that's where you get those moments of spontaneous creation and transcendence. So maybe go down to Monkey Nest Coffee some Monday, the last Monday of every month, and check it out. It's always really fun. And that's it. We have come to the end of yet another This Song episode. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 Austin. This episode was produced and edited by myself, Elizabeth McQueen, with help from David Sanger. The interviews were recorded by Cliff Hargrove and myself. Special thanks to Peter Babb, who books all the bands in Studio 1A. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hardproof Afrobeat, and thank you very much to Laura and Todd for sitting down and talking with me. You can email us at thissong@kutx.org or tweet us at thissongkutx. You can subscribe to This Song on iTunes or follow us on Stitcher. And like I said, if you like the podcast, we'd love it if you left a rating or a review. I'll have links to Laura Marling's Studio 1A performance, as well as to the song of the day of her version of Townes Van Zandt's For the Sake of the Song. It's stunning. And I'll also have a link to Todd Wolfson's website and to the Monkey Nest Coffee events page, where you can find out when the next Todd Family Music Series is happening. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.